In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now, for all of the leisure time that we have in our modern era, for all of the hours that we spend engaged with our various screens and technologies, it's amazing how often people complain about being tired and worn out. And it may not only be a physical weariness of difficult or tedious work, but a mental exhaustion too, information overload. As the warm weather finally arrives, people are eager to get away from it all and take a trip or a vacation and decompress and recharge, as it is said. Of course, as enjoyable as a getaway can be, most people realize that they need a vacation after their vacation before they will actually feel rested and refreshed. We keep seeking after things that will de-stress and rejuvenate us and give us peace, but we never quite seem to get all the way there. Well, in today's gospel, Jesus speaks about the rest that he gives to those who are tired and burdened. And of course, he is not simply talking about outward temporary relaxation, but rather inward lasting restoration and peace, rest for our souls. And so today we will be seeking first to identify just what it is that makes our souls so weary, and then second to discover where and how we may obtain this rest which Jesus is speaking about, the true rest which continues forever. What is it that exhausts our souls? Or for some, it is very simply the stress of fulfilling their many responsibilities in life and all the things that that you have to deal with as a parent or a spouse or a worker, a volunteer, a caretaker. The anxiety that comes from doing everything that needs to be done can cause more than just bodily tiredness. It can drain a person's spirit. For others, it is struggling to live up to the expectations and the social pressures of family members or friends that makes them inwardly worn out. They never feel like they quite measure up. For many, burdens of the soul can be caused by bodily troubles and sicknesses, which wear a person down mentally and can raise the nagging question, why is this happening to me? And for still others, spiritual weariness comes from the fact that they've been dragging around a load of guilt with them for years and sometimes even decades. Some failure or something they deeply regret having done just won't leave them alone, but seems to hang on to them like a ball and chain. But in the most ultimate and truest sense, the thing that makes our souls weary and burdened is the all-encompassing demands laid on us by God's law. Now, first, we might think that we can handle God's commands. Don't murder, don't steal, don't commit adultery, honor your parents, remember the Sabbath day. Those aren't always easy, but with a little effort, we can usually pull that weight. But then we learn that there's more to it than that. Don't murder also means that we should be helping our neighbor in all of his physical needs, even to the point of loving our enemies. Don't commit adultery also means that we should constantly be honoring and loving our spouse. Don't steal also means that we should be helping others to improve and protect their possessions and income. Well, that's a lot heavier load. And then we discover that we can also break God's commandments in our hearts. Lust is adultery. Anger is murder. Greed is stealing. Now it takes all of our might just to drag that burden an inch. And that's still not the end of it. We're stopped dead in our tracks and drained of all of our strength when God says in his word, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. And it is also written, you therefore must be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect. God's law is like a gigantic boulder to which we are chained. And he says, pull it. If you want to get to heaven on your own steam, you must drag that all the way there. And of course, not one of us can. Our fallenness burdens our conscience and makes life an exhausting spiritual struggle. So where do we find rest? Well, the kind of rest we are speaking about is not to be found in a vacation or a six-pack or in any other earthly pleasure. Now, in the gospel, Jesus tells us where real, lasting rest is to be found by saying very simply, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And notice the gift language there. No purchase necessary. He says, "I will give you rest." To those who are weighed down by the burden of anxiety or stress, Jesus says, "Here, let me carry it." To those who have been dragging around a load of guilt, Jesus says, "Here, let me pull it." And to those who have been worn down and worn out by the demands of God's law, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Now, a yoke, of course, is a wooden bar or frame by which two draft animals, like horses or oxen, would be joined together for plowing. And so it might seem a bit odd at first that Jesus would invite us to come to him for rest and then say, "Take my yoke upon you," as if it's not rest that he was offering, but hard labor. However, that is clearly not Jesus' intent here. What he is saying, rather, is stop your exhausting and futile efforts to pull that load alone. Hook up with me. Let me do it. One of the parts of a yoke is a piece called an evener. And that evener can be adjusted so that the stronger of the two animals pulls the heaviest portion of the load. And of course, in our case, that evener is adjusted all the way so that we pull the whole load only through Christ and by his strength alone. For only he truly has the power to move it. Only he has the power to fulfill the law of God and to overcome sin. We are yoked together with Christ by faith so that now his work counts as our own. He does all the pulling, we get all the credit. By his grace, Christ joins us to himself in such a way that his righteousness is our righteousness before God the Father. Jesus bears the yoke of the cross, and so do we. But he is the one who bears the full burden of it. He's the one who carries the load. Christ walks beside us like that day by day in this world, and he dwells in us by his holy words and sacraments, that he may live his life through us, a life of faith and love that is well-pleasing to the Father. See, Jesus' purpose in coming to this earth was to do for us what we had to do but could not do. Having taken upon himself our true human nature, he, the Son of God, began to live a holy life for us. He overcame temptation. He loved and gave of himself for others. He fulfilled all of the requirements of God's law. And then he submitted himself to the punishment for those failings of keeping God's law, to a cruel and torturous death in our place in obedience to his heavenly Father. He dragged the weight of the entire world's sin up Mount Calvary, where he was crucified. And our sins were fully paid for on that day, never more to accuse us and never more to burden our souls. Jesus became weak like that so that we would be made strong. He became weary even to the point of death so that we would have rest and life. And now that he has conquered death by his glorious resurrection from the grave, we are made certain that this rest that he gives is real and this life that he bestows is everlasting. So Jesus' invitation to each of you today is to renew your faith in him, the faith by which you were yoked together with him. For when he says, "Come to me and take my yoke upon you," that's really the very same thing as him saying, "Believe in me. Place your confidence in what I have done to save you. Let your heart take refuge in me. Trust in me to help pull you through all the struggles of this life." You were yoked together with Christ already in your baptism, where he said to you, "I have called you by name. You are mine. I will never leave you or forsake you." And Jesus is walking with you even today, every step of the way, through the high points and the low points, through the good and the bad, so that regardless of your circumstances this day, you may have his restfulness and his peace in your souls, that peace that passes all understanding. And Christ gives you rest along the way by speaking into your ears his comforting words of holy absolution. And he offers you refreshment by placing into your mouths his very body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. In this way, he strengthens you for the journey with his real presence, his very life. That's why the day of divine service is rightly called the Sabbath day, or the day of rest. For it is especially in the liturgy that Christ gives you true spiritual rest and recreation. It is here that the Holy Spirit uses his instruments of life very literally to recreate you and to renew you in the image of Christ. And our Lord will finally lead you from here to the eternal recreation, the new creation, and to the unending rest and peace and joy which is being prepared for you even now in heaven. Now, one more thing here. To the world, all of this may seem rather foolish and even childish. But remember what Jesus said at the beginning of today's gospel. He said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babies. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight." See, the so-called smart people of this world keep searching for rest in places that cannot truly be found, in the idols of things or people or false spirituality. Now, only those who are weak and lowly find real rest in Christ, for he is the one who is gentle and lowly in heart, and he is the one who comforts the afflicted, who declares sinners to be righteous, who gives rest to the weary and even life to the dead. So to conclude, listen to this passage from Revelation 14, which speaks of both heaven and hell in terms of rest. Of unbelievers, it says this: "The smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night." But of believers who are yoked together with Christ, it says this: "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors." May God grant then that all of you who are weary and burdened will heed Jesus' invitation and come to him with trusting hearts. For he gives to you the rest of your life, both in this world and in the one to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.